Hello and welcome along to another episode of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. I am Tom Nugent as PK remains on his holidays, but we look forward to the final installment of Dundalk before the festive period. And I'm delighted to be joined once again by Fran Berry. And Fran, I think to kick things off, it's been a big week of news in racing. And one of your waiting room colleagues, Davey Russell and Frankie Dettori, have decided to take different routes. Davey going out riding a winner in Thurles, and Frankie's decided to go on a 12-month kind of circus.
Yeah, Frankie's doing a bit of a testimonial year, isn't he? And, you know, it's going to be really fitting way to finish off at the Breeders' Cup next November. Hopefully, Frankie can kick in a few good winners along the way, but how do you replace him when he's gone? You know, he's such an icon of the sport in the UK and internationally, and a massive draw in his own right, Tom. You know, so it's going to be an interesting year, but it'll be sad when he does finish. But I suppose time waits for no man. But if he can kick in with a classic winner next year, and would he uphold his promise to ride Listowel? We missed it last year because of suspension. If he came back to Listowel in September, I'm sure it'd be a big draw. And I'm sure any day he rides in Ireland next year, he'll be a big draw. But very much the end of an era. Like, he's spanned the 80s, 90s, 2000s and onwards. And, you know, the highs and lows of all the career and the ups and downs of it. But a fantastic rider, still riding extremely well. And not surprised, but, you know, it's going to be the end of an era when he does that. And Davey, I was a bit surprised. I knew it was coming, if that makes sense. You know, like, everybody, you know, thought it was coming, but I thought it may well happen at Christmas or Dublin Racing Festival. But I think it was quite fitting that he bowed out at Thurles. You know, that's grassroots racing, and it's great to see his family there and riding a winner for Gordon. And again, he endured plenty of ups and downs. Obviously, he's recent injury 2 years ago when he broke his neck, to get back from that at his age as a jump jockey was remarkable, really. And then to go and win in Galvin, you know, that ride game last year, to get up and beat a Plutard at Christmas time was very, very special. And he's still riding as good now as he was 5 years ago, and I think that's a great way to bow. But you know, it's the end of a golden era of jump jockeys, I think. You know, like the Rubies, Barry Garrity's, the Paul Carberry's, the, you know, I know you're doing a show with Paul Carberry and talking about some of his great winners and that, but, you know, they're dominant for 20 years, that era of 5, 6, 7 jockeys that, you know, any one of them could be the best around, you know. So it's just, yeah, it'd be a shame to see him go now.
Yeah, I was literally going to say that, like, as without disrespecting the current crop, it's like, I'm kind of 31 now and would have grown up with that group that you just mentioned, watching them all my life. And it's, you look back at it and go, we were so lucky to kind of have them all at the same time, weren't we?
Very much so. And they, you know, they're joys to watch, and you know, they could bring something special to the table. And you know, the position in races, Davey around Cheltenham was fantastic, and I think they made each other better as well. You know, that you know, they're different styles, but competing day in, day out against each other, small meetings, big meetings, that really stood to them. And then you peel back 5 years before that, when you had Norman Williamson and the Woody, Richard the Woody, and, you know, moving on to the current generation. It's I think it's leaving a gap, that generation at present. Now there's a big room for the next generation to step up now, but you know, it's definitely the end of an era, I think. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's the end of the year as well, as we look forward to the festive period. And we were just talking about before we came on your kind of Christmas routine. Obviously you're out of the saddle now, so all bets are off when it comes to the over and under total kilos of turkey consumed over the next couple of days.
Very much so. We're not actually a household from turkey. We gave it up a couple of years ago. Too much hassle, isn't it? You know, cooking and waiting on it. So we're roast chicken people, and the ham, of course. And yeah, two young kids, big excitement for Santa. We went to see him last week. He was in good form, and that and the elf. And yeah, it's really building up as the week goes on for them. You know, it's all about the kids with that, you know, all that special occasion. But looking forward to a few glasses of champagne, kick back, and with the early declarations for Christmas, plenty to look forward to. Three meetings on Stephen's Day and on through the rest of the week. But yeah, breakfast up in mum and dad's Christmas morning, mass, maybe midnight mass the night before if I haven't been drinking too much champagne, maybe. And chill out with the kids. So I know to Limerick Stephen's Day, but plenty of food and chill out. Yeah, looking forward to it.
Hey, Willie, as you can tell you, yeah. If you came within half a mile of our house with a roast chicken, you'd be ran out of the place, I'd say.
And try and get a winner on my dad, which is easier said than done.
Yeah. You're not a miracle worker, so we'll let you off that one. We'll move on and take a look at a very busy 8-race card at Dundalk on Wednesday. It is, of course, Wednesdays with Fran. The 21st of December is the final meeting. And the action kicks off at 4:15 with a 5-furlong handicap, 47-65. A full field again here. And Fran, some hard-knocking Dundalk veterans here, including the likes of Dan's Gift and horses like that. It looks like the draw might play its hand here a little bit as well. A few of the ones with kind of more interesting form have been drawn wide-ish.
Yeah, very much so. One that I was very keen on, number 2, Zigzag Ziggy. Tom, he's drawn out in stalls 16. He's been running very well in his last couple of starts. First couple of starts for Adam McGuinness. But when you're drawn out that wide over the 5-furlong trip at Dundalk, it's nearly impossible to win in this grade. And for that reason, I'll be swerving Zigzag Ziggy. You did give a mention to Sheila Lavery's runner, Dan's Gift, who's a really likeable horse at this track. But he's in the veteran stage at this point in time. Plenty of pace on in this race. Betrayed, number 8, will make a bold bid from stall number 2 and should set a good pace. And I'm hoping that he will not get in a speed duel with my selection, Tom. But it's the top weight, number one, Speed Limit, has been running really well in recent starts up here and performed quite well in a much higher grade last time. Good draw in stall 5. He's back into lower grade here. Wayne Lorden gets a very good tune out of him. He's back on board, and his last couple of placings at this track and trip, he was second in Ishmore Prince, very progressive horse, and second to Lakota, who was a handicap blot and probably should not have been in this race. So look, he's got every chance of figuring here, and no Speed Limit back down in grade, should be hard to beat. I will give him mention number 12, Hero of the Hour as well, but he's drawn out stall 14. And Silver Nemo, number 7, has been running consistently well. Just gets it hard to get it together to win a race, but he's definitely interesting. But no Speed Limit, definitely the one to beat.
No Speed Limit to get Fran Berry and co off to a flyer in the opener in Dundalk on Wednesday. The second race of the day is the 4:45. It's a mile and a half maiden with 8 due to run. And whilst it mightn't be your selection, Fran, we were talking about it on air. An interesting booking here for Aidan O'Brien on number 8, Engagement Ring. We gave her a mention when we were on the show last week. She's a full sister to Capri and a few others, Brazil as well. But a great opportunity for Jack Cleary here to claim £7. He's only kind of 81 rides for the year, 5 winners. And here he is riding for Aidan O'Brien. This could be a big opportunity for him.
Great opportunity for Jack. He's a lovely young chap and he rides well. And I believe he's actually moved down to Aidan O'Brien and hence he's picked up a nice ride here to work for Aidan O'Brien. And I was only told that yesterday, so I'm sure it's right. And that would tally with him riding Engagement Ring. Didn't perform too badly behind The Real Deal last week in a slowly run race. She was held up in comparison to runs over shorter and she actually kept on okay, and back into maiden company, Tom, with a more positive ride, but without going too quick early on, she should be a player. I just think she's vulnerable to a couple of improvers in the race, but she sets a good standard. And with Jack claiming £7, she's definitely of interest. Couple of horses that I backed on her last runs and are painful to watch. Reginald's Tower, trained by Mick Halford, a big eye catcher on flat debut, having been second in Navin Bumper. It was heavily backed. I thought I was on the right end of the market backing him each way last time at, I think it was 9-2. He was backed into 9-4. And typically he finished fourth, fading, and the each way money was done. But it was a disappointing run by him. And I'm not quite sure where I'm at with him. So I'm happy to swerve him on this occasion for all that I do think he's got promise. Pahlavi, trained by the Shark Hanlon, had decent form for Jessica Harrington. And switching to the poly track is very interesting. Late starter on the flat. And he's a 5-year-old, but he's got a good rating of 77. He's well capable of winning races for the Shark going forward. But there's a 3-year-old in this whom I also backed last time. And I done my donor, of course, was Dancing Tango, was a stable debutant for Joseph O'Brien. Harry and Roger Charlton trainer in the UK, and she had some decent runs. And she ran a good race behind her stable companion River Rain last time, who stepped forward on the on all weather debut to beat her. Thought she looked ring rusty on that occasion. Dancing Tango was her first run since August, and with normal improvement on the back of that, she's a 3-year-old. She gets to weight for age, a small weight for age allowance, albeit in December from her rivals, and she should take quite a bit of beating getting that weight. And the fact that Hugh Hogan takes off 7 pounds with that recent run, she sets a good standard.
Lovely stuff, a compelling case there. At the third race of the evening is the 5:15 another mile and a half handicap with a full field, and the real deal is they're back to the well, Fran. £7 penalty and won well here last week.
He was very impressive, Tom. You know, we talked about him last week, and he was the unknown quantity in that 2 mile handicap. You know, given his progression, obviously over hurdles and everything else, and he ran a out an easy winner. He travelled really well on the day. Back down to mile and a half, he performed well over this distance. 2 starts ago, sets a good standard. But if I didn't back him last week, I'm happy enough to be against him here on this occasion, given I think he'll go off very short in the market. I can see him possibly going off close to even money. And for that reason, with a full field, I'm happy enough to look elsewhere. You got a couple of interesting horses been running well in recent starts. Saul Goodman got off the mark recently, got a fine ride to win, and he's definitely built on some promising efforts. Halcyon Spirit has gone up a lot in the handicap for winning an ordinary race last time. And First Man, trained by Tony Martin, Colin Keane is back on board. Stepping back up to mile and a half is of definite interest. But Mick Halford, I like a couple of his runners here tonight on the card. And number 8, Riccardi Medici, is very progressive, lightly raced. He tried for a step up to mile and a half 2 starts ago, was a ready winner, staying on strongly late on. And he just didn't get going in time back down a distance over 10 furlongs last time, and also ran into a big improver in Cold Steel. He's back up to mile and a half here, and he's open to a lot more improvement, I think, at the distance. And given his likely race nature, you're going to have a lopsided market, I think, with the real deal in the race. He could be valued to take him on, and Riccardo Medici is the selection.
Very, very good, Riccardo Medici for Fran Berry. The third race of the evening. Onwards we go. 5:45, a mile, over a mile. It's a 2-year-old's conditions race, but it's effectively a maiden. No winners in it. Maidens or winners of one were entitled to run, but none have shown up. And not much in terms of form to go with. Cyber Attack and Blue News have a couple of runs to their name, Fran, but a few others with just one run. What were you making of this?
Yeah, look, it's all going to depend on a couple of newcomers. Number 4, Head of State, is a Churchill Colt trained by Joseph O'Brien. If the market arrives, you know, in his favour, speaks in his favour, he could be very hard to beat because of the horse, Tom, they ran. They probably are vulnerable to an improver, if that makes sense. Blue News, number 2, is likeable. He's consistent. I'm not quite sure about a mile from around here, and he's had plenty of chances for all that he deserves to win a race. I think he's vulnerable to an improver. And Mick Halford has got a couple of debutants in a race worth watching the market also. But Cyber Attack and Hypnotize Me, trained by Jarline, Jarline's number 13, showed promise on debut. But number 11, Cyber Attack, I thought her recent comeback run was very good. She showed really good promise on debut to Cora. Not as good next time in Nace, perhaps, but it was maybe a stronger race in the day. But on the back of a long layoff, I thought she ran really well over the 7-furlong trip here recently, keeping on well late on. You would think with another furlong stepping up in trip with the benefit of that run, and crucially, a very good draw in stall 1. She showed a tendency to hang a little bit to her left, and maybe just being on the rail might make life easy for Gary Carroll. And with normal improvement from that recent run, I think unless the newcomer for Joseph Bryan, Head of State, is smart, Cyber Attack should be hard to beat.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
6:15 is a filly's maiden for 3-year-olds and upwards over a mile. And again, Fran, some interesting form figures, but I suppose Lizzie's filly had been banging on the door on turf. This is her first go up on the Dundalk surface. Would she kind of be a leading chance?
Very much so. Tom Dismaiden is like a version of The Usual Suspects, isn't it? You know, you could have a lineup and a picture, and you can name all the long-standing maidens pitching up here again. And Cyclamen is here again, and she's had plenty of chances. I thought Wayne Lorden gave her every chance to cut her into winning last Friday night here. And look, she's been running well. Just, I don't think she's any way genuine at all, but has the ability to win. Oh, Cleo and Celador both have plenty of chance in recent maids up here, and are both not the most progressive by any means. And down the bottom, number 14, Vadine Verdiana, trained by Tracy Collins. If that came back to second run in Belliestown, would be a big player, but struggled on heavy ground recently, and the stable is struggling for a bit of form. So I'm happy enough to watch Fadiana at this point in time to see how she copes with the poly track. And as you mentioned at the top of the piece about this race, Tom, number 9, Lizzie's Filly, is the unknown quantity on the all-weather somewhat. She'd won run on the all-weather. She's been running really consistently well all summer on the grass, on various grounds, heavy ground, good ground. And I think she is the most reliable out of a lot of unreliable horses. And drawn and stalled 13, perhaps not ideal, but she does jump and travel well. And I think she's due a turn. And crucially, she's a lot more genuine than a lot of her rivals.
6:45 is a 7 furlong nursery, and Fran, of your fee that you'll earn, I thought this was where you learn it the most. I thought this was the trickiest race on the card. Maybe horses 2, 3, and 4 drawn 1, 2, and 1, 3, and 4 might kind of set the standard in terms of making a picture of the race, but I found it very tricky.
Yeah, it's quite hard, but there's one horse I'm very keen on in it, but you're dealing with a lot of unknown quantities. Down the bottom, number 14, Alfreda, trained by Gavin Cromwell, is really interesting, dropping down a furling and trip, showed a lot of speed over my last time, and definitely shape of promise. Jessica Harrington's got Laser Jet, also likely raced, and is interesting on the surface. And Tyr Tangier, trained by John O'Donoghue, also shaped a promise recently at the track and is open to a bit more improvement. And then you've Magnanimous Mamus, Shamie Heffernan's back on board again. Decent run last time. He's been gelded on the back of a couple of promising efforts. And as you said, Tom, number 2, Magnanimous Mamus, is definitely one. Number 4, Lake Illawarra, first time on blinkers, is definitely interesting. And I think she would be a player if she sharpens up with the blinkers on. But number 3, Dramontine, is the one I like most. Was mad about her on debut to Corrish. I thought she shaped really well in the day, travelled really well in the run, and appeared to get tired. And I backed her next day, and she went backwards, perhaps for that debut run. It came quite quickly, only 13 days in between her first and second run. Maybe she's a bit flat, but I thought her recent run at Dundalk was full of promise, behind Shangri Lama. Was knocked about and appeared to get tired inside the furling pole. Normal improvement off the back of that. That race actually worked out quite well. That maiden as well, an opening mark of 69. I think Dramontine is going to be hard to beat. Her dam, Via Balacroix, was a winner on the track here at Dundalk in the past, and is definitely the one most open to improvement, perhaps in a very tough race.
Very good. You're worth every penny, Fran Berry. Fair play to you. Penultimate race on the cards at 7:15 is a 7 furlong handicap. And this is probably the race of the night in terms of quality, Fran. San Andreas tops the weights at 104, but some very good horses down below.
Yeah, cracking race, Tom, for time of the year. And when you go down through all of the 8 runners, you can, or 9 runners, excuse me, you can make a case for any of them on their best day, and a lot of them on their recent form. Top weight San Andreas shaped better than the Bear result last time. He went off far too quick for his own good and was not beaten that far in a bunch finish. And he's well capable on his day. Conor Stonewalsh taking £10 off is not a bad addition at all. And I could not rule him out. Number 3, Rough Diamond. Big question mark by the trip for him. He went off too quick when a beaten favour last time. He got in a speed duel on the front end of the lead. But that was 6 furlongs, all of his form, and is over 6, 5, and 6 furlongs. So I'm happy to watch him at the trip. And number 4, Angel's Rat. It's interesting that Johnny Murta has kept his filly in training for Newtown Understood. She was very impressive on debut when winning, and did not shape too badly in this to company in her next start at the Curragh. Has not been seen for well over a year and is probably best watched, but it is just interesting. Has it potentially a bit of class. And then Shark Hanlon's horse stepping up in trip number 7, I Have a Secret, is also it working his way into good form, decent form in the UK and a good record at this trip. Marcel, number eight, a revelation for Eddie Lynham, stepping up in trip, very, very consistent, very effective on the all-weather, and is only £4 higher after winning from a very wide draw last time. A very good performance. You can make a case, as I said, for all of them, but looking outside the all-weather bubble, I'm going to go at number two, Fastnet Crown, trained by Michael O'Callaghan. Was a debut winner on the all-weather. He's one from one on the surface, and he's been very consistent on the grass all year. He's risen up to career high mark of 100, but he was won a premier handicap at Curra this year, and I thought his run 2 starts ago behind Statement in a Lister race at Cork was very good. If he breaks out a stall sharply, he could often be a slow starter. There's likely to be a lot of pace on this race with Ampison and San Andreas. I think it'll suit him very well, and he's a bit more unexposed than a lot of these on the all-weather. Maximum respect for Marcel, but Fastnet Crown is the one that I like most. Switch it back to the all-weather.
Bringing the curtain down on Dundalk before the festive period is the 7:45.
It's going to be emotional.
A single tear rolls down the cheek of Fran Berry and freezes Sotheby. It is a 7-furlong handicap, 47-65. Another tricky one here again, Fran. Me not knowing much, I had a quick look, thought Circles with Jamie Heffernan might be of interest, but I think inconsistency would be a good word to describe a lot of these.
Very much so, and as you said, Tom, it's probably the hardest race tonight to decipher, because Circles, I fancied last start with blinkers on, was came back to her previous efforts. She will be a big player, and maybe she done a bit too much in the blinkers on that occasion, and Shamey Heffernan taking over now. She's well capable of winning. You got Matt Cliff, number 11, well capable on his day but not reliable. Number 5 At Bay, trained by Gavin Ryan, rides for Mark Fye, was a big eye catcher, unstable debut in a maiden last time, and off an opening mark of 59. Just monitor mark moves for him. Number 3, Havana Pearl. I've backed her the last two times, and she got the each way money the first day. She was very disappointing last time, and is best watch, I would imagine. And trainer Gerald Leary's got a couple of really interesting horses in this race. Top weight, not going to kill her. And Delta Romeo, number 6. And I was quite split between the two of his runners as a selection, Tom. They're both, I think, better than the current marks. Delta Romeo is well capable on his day. The blinkers have definitely worked on him. And if he was to break on terms, he will be a big player. However, he's been slow at the gates the last two times. He's lost a couple of lengths, and that's made a difference late on. And I've gone with a stable companion, Nocturne Killer, as the selection. He's way down in grade. Colin Keane is booked to ride. This horse was placed off marks in the high 70s and early 80s 18 months ago. And a couple of his runs this year have been very good, particularly that run at Curra in late September off mark of 68. And crucially, he's dropping into lower grade here tonight. Collins on board. He's by Holy Roman Emperor. He should enjoy the surface with the first time blinkers. He could be the improver down in grade here.
Lovely stuff. Rightio, Fran. It is time to get the money for the roast chicken. What is the nap of the night at Dundalk on Wednesday?
There's a couple of ways we could go, I suppose. Dancing Tango is going to be popular in race 2, and you have Cyber Attack in race 4, who will be both short enough in the market, but value-wise, and I think she's opened a lot more improvement on handicap debut. Race 6, Dramatine, very excited by her, and she will be a decent price, I would imagine, in the context of that race, Tom, and she's the nap to get the Christmas money, last chance to get money before Stephen's Day and all that racing.
And before we let you go, Fran, you were in Punchestown yesterday, and speaking of Christmas racing, you saw some interesting performances. Whether or not they'll be able to turn around in time to have another go at Christmas is unlikely, but it's still interesting performances with the rest of the season in mind.
Very much so, and it was great to have the racing on as it is at Naas today, just for trainers, get these horses out. And Galloping the Champ, big fan of this horse, and it was great to see him back in action, and he made Factor of the Diaries, proper experienced grade 1 horse, look very, not ordinary on the day, but he just beat him with such ease that I think, wherever he goes, obviously in the future, the Gold Cup trip is the question mark, 3 mile, 2 furlongs, but he's a hugely exciting horse. He just loved the way he does everything through a race and the way he travels, and his temperament as well. He's just so relaxed and chilled out that, yeah, he's very exciting. I know he's at 2-1 for the Gold Cup now. And I thought Appreciator was down to last Punchestown. If people go there, that end stand down where the last fence is, it's always great viewing point. And they really quickened down to the last fence. Yeah, obviously I hadn't gone that quick early on, but from the second last to last, when Paul Townend got him going, they're really motoring down to last, and he met it on the wrong stride, brushed through the top of it, but the way he came away from it with momentum, he's probably back to the promise of his debut, you know, bumper form, if you like. I thought he really took to chasing extremely well, and he'd be interesting taking on John Bonn perhaps in the Arkle going forward, but hugely excited by him, appreciated, I thought was top drawer stuff.
Long range look at some of the racing at Leopardstown. Anything at this moment in time catching your eye? Limerick either. I know you're headed for Limerick for a couple of days, so feel free to give our friends on the West Coast a mention as well.
Very much so. Limerick's a good festival in its own right, of course, and the Grade One Chase here on Stephen's Day is always a draw. Brazil will run down in the Grade of 4-year-old hurdle later in the week at Limerick. He's definitely worth a watch down there. His last chance to take on his own age group. And in Leopardstown, of course, the Paddy Power Chase in the 27th, hugely competitive donkey years, obviously very interesting for Eric McNamara, but Mr. Incredible is trained by Willie Mullins now, formerly with Henry de Bromhead. Very, very good hurdle form, decent chase form. Went off the rails a bit. He refused to race last year and he pulled up at his last start at Tremor, but he's been purchased by Paul Byrne of the Grand National winning fame, of course, Noble Yates, and switching to Willie Mullins. He's currently a 12-1 chance. I thought he could be interesting for all that. Maybe there's a question mark about his temperament, but he could be an improver. And in a Madison Hurl state, man, all eyes are going to be on him. But looking at the long range entries and the anti-post market, I think this race is going to cut up a lot. You know, Constitution Hill, Tiupu still in the betting currently for it. Neither of them are likely to run, I would imagine. And maximum respect for Stateman, but Pied Piper at 6-1 with Paddy Power and currently going 3 places on a race. I think he'll cut up to 4 or 5 runners, 6 runners maybe. And at 6-1, Pied Piper each way at this point in time could be the value.
Excellent bit of insight there from Fran. Before we wrap things up, a couple of little bits of housekeeping. Keep an eye out for Paddy's Pick 5, which is back, worth $100,000 on Stephen's Day / Boxing Day, whichever way you're persuaded. And keep an eye out for a Christmas racing rewind with Paul Garbery, himself, Paddy, and Ruby Walter in discussion about some of his rides, including Archibald of the Christmas Hurdle at Kempton, Monbeg Dude in the Welsh National, and B for Salmon in the Lexus. That'll be going out on Paddy Power's social channels, but most importantly, the full version will be going out on Paddy Power's horse racing YouTube, only set up, and the link will be in the show notes. And I believe you can keep an eye out for a Christmas quiz featuring Fran Berry and a few others as well. If you're looking to cause an argument in your house, Fran, you were saying there was a couple of significant performances. Frank Higgy, a notable improver, came into the race very well handicapped.
Yeah, and unfortunately he was on the wrong team. He was opposing us, and it was remarkable. I think viewers will enjoy some of his answers, and his depth of knowledge or recollection, if you like, was quite taking. So it's well worth a watch, and there's a couple of freezing moments in it as well, so it's definitely good. Hopefully it goes down well, but it'll entertain us in the lead up to a good racing at Christmas.
Excellent, excellent stuff. And don't forget, we will have a monstrous podcast out before Christmas Day itself, previewing all the big racing across the Christmas festival, both in the UK and in Ireland. But for now, that's all we've got time for. I've been Tom Nugent, and that was another episode of From the Horse's Mouth. And Fran, if you don't mind, before I let you go, let me be the first to wish you a very Merry Christmas.
Same to you, Tom.